John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I think we'll be concluding the chapter today. I can't remember when we started. But I like this word found sprinkled throughout. It's amazing what you can get when you're preaching through the Bible like this. Just little things that you'd never say, hey, I think I'll preach a message on this. Verse 39. I think before I left, I put my big Bible in my car that Dylan's had for 2 weeks, and this is my original Bible, and that's verse 39. Eric, could you read verse 39 for me?
He saith unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, where it was about the 10th hour.
And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, as he findeth, we have found the Messias, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is being interpreted a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. Everybody's looking for somebody and finding somebody, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth, see it, Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and in the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Everybody's finding somebody. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when he finds them, they in turn seek to find people to tell what they have found, who they have found. And that's the way the gospel's been propagated for 2,000 years. And it's interesting to me, in light, I was able to see Pastor B's message. We don't get real good reception where we are, but we were able to take that message in concerning kids. But look at verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon. What they found was first shared with friends and family. Started in that case with their brothers. And that excites me working with a group such as this, because evidently, now granted they're, I don't know how old they are. I'm thinking they're late teens, early 20s. These are religious kids. A heathen doesn't go up to his brother and say, we found him of whom Moses and the prophets had read. Now they're not pansies. They're not intelligentsias, they know something about the Word of God. And I like that. Charlie preached on siblings. We talk about sibling rivalry. How about sibling salvation? Imagine Jesse coming to Sam or Timmy coming to Ben or Aaron coming to Joel and saying, hey, we found him. Some of you on the fence. I've been watching it for 28 years, man. Grow up, Jesus loves me, this I know. I want to be a missionary and all that. And man, then something happens. I think about this message, man, some of you breaking into your brother's room and say, I found him of who the preacher's been talking about for the last 20 years. I think about Brother Jay when he got saved, 1979, he first findeth his brother Larry and said, Larry, I found what I've been looking for. I wonder how many spouses in this room were looking for love in all the wrong places and looking for something and not realizing the whole while that God was looking for them. And they found it, and they came home one day like I did and said, "Honey, I found what I've been looking for." Starts in the home. Now, thank God for a wife that God knew I needed. We met when we were 13. I was a natural leader. She was a natural follower. And I just ping-pong balled her and drug her around. "Let's buy a house. Okay. Let's buy a car. Okay. Let's buy a boat. Okay. Let's buy a trailer. Okay. Let's have a party. Okay. Let's have a baby. Okay." One day I come home and said, "I have found him of whom the Bible speaks of." Now that time, it was not an immediate, "Okay. I'm having our baby baptized." "Yes, dear." Everybody thinks she's... We pulled in First Bible Baptist Church for the first time. She was a teacher in Greece, so she was familiar with the busing and all that. And she saw North Star Christian Academy, and she said to me, "This is a born-again Christian church." And one of the kids that goes to my school, his parents are members of this church, and the father is a nutcase. But God worked, and the word worked, and prayer worked, and eventually she said, "Okay. Hallelujah. You bring it home first. I like this." She and she first findeth her own sister, Mary. Mary said, "I'm not leaving the Catholic Church." She said, "I know it's wrong, but I just can't do it." "It's all right. God will work with you." And Mary got saved. And the gospel just kind of oozed its way through the family and through some friends. And I just want to say, you second generation kids, you don't realize how good you have it. Now, some of you are going to struggle. Some of your sisters, your brothers, they're going to go to the world. They're going to go left of where you are, or whatever they're going to do. It's going to be a little awkward. You're going to have to pray and have wisdom to love and yet remain committed to your dictates of your conscience as far as God goes. But thank God you're not going to a Christmas party where they're drinking and dancing and smoking and making sport of your God. You got a good thing. You got a good thing. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith, "We found him. We found him." Seem like everybody in this text is looking for someone. Are you looking for someone? Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost, and you don't have to look far to find that today. You know what one of the bummers is of being in the ministry? I dreamed about it. I hinged on despising my work. Number one, I wasn't good at it because it was head work. But I just want to serve God. 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 You know what I miss? I miss the heathen. I miss the relationships. I miss the opportunities to witness to people all day long. I miss the opportunities where guys would be rough and tough on the outside, and then they kind of get you on the side and say, "Can you pray for me?" I remember one day I was using the men's room there, and I walked in, and I can't remember exactly what happened, but I looked at the man by the name of Dave Milks, and I said, "Christ died for your sins, Dave." He was an older man, worked in the electrician group. He went in that stall. I don't know if we had some words back and forth. He went in the stall. I washed my hands and went out. Later that day, he comes into my office and he said, "God goes in the bathroom, you know." I thought he said, "God goes to the bathroom." And I said, "Don't make sport of my God." He said, "I'm not." He said, but I told him he was going to hell. That's what it was. I said, Dave, you fall off that ladder and you're not saved, you're going to go straight through that floor and your soul's going to go right to hell. You know what he did when he got in that stall? He got on his knees. I said, don't make sport of my God. He said, I didn't. He said, but after you told me I was going straight to hell, he said, I got on my knees. And I said, you're right, God. Save my soul. And he got saved. You know how you get saved is a lot of time how you try to get people saved. Every place he went, you fall off that ladder, Fred, you're going to fall straight down to hell. He was a mason, you know, mason, not bricklayer mason, the weird mason. He goes, yeah, the mason came last night. Let me start with this story. Every Thursday, he went for pizza and beer at Pizza Hut with his wife. He got saved whatever it was, a Tuesday. This is Thursday. They had their pizza. They drank their beer. They would get a pit, and there was that much beer left. She says, you going to finish that? He said, nope. She said, what? That's the last time he ever put booze in his mouth. He's under the car working on the car. One of the masons come up the driveway. Haven't seen a bit. He goes, hey, brother. Dave pulls out. He goes, if you're not born again, you're not my brother, because you're going to go straight to hell if you die without Jesus. I miss that. Enjoy that. You know what's bad about getting old? You wear out your sphere of influence. You young guys, you young students that are getting out where there's new people, tell them you found somebody. I appreciate Joshua and the Robinsons over here, man. It's like the international section. I mean, we went out to those. There's none of this is in my notes. I'm sorry. We're out on that Indian reservation, man, witnessing all week, and we're tired out. We're coming home. We're on the plane. I turn around. He's in that aisle with his Bible open in the middle. Boom, 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 boom. Give it to him. Tell him you found somebody. Tell him you found what they're looking for. Listen, we preach on the streets, we hold the signs, we knock on the doors, but you and I know that confrontational evangelism doesn't afford you the opportunities to work with people that you work with on a daily basis. What are you saying? I'm saying keep looking to find and seek those that are lost. What advice would you give a new couple? What would you give a young family advice? What would you give a couple with young teens or preteens? What advice would you give a new pastor or a church in transition? Keep the focus on seeking and saving that which is lost. If you're in the secular workplace, if you're in the university, get a prayer list. Lord, let me witness to Glenn Ruta today. Lord, let me witness to Vinny Yanero today. Lord, let me witness to old Bud today. Lord, let me witness. And you watch God open those doors. Seek it. We found him. We found him. And everybody's not going to be a preacher on the street. What I'm saying, keep evangelism your focus. Teach your kids to give to missions early. Teach your kids to pray for missionaries early. Take missions trips. Keep that the focus, and you won't get stale. The church won't get stale. The minute you turn inward and just start work. I don't know if you've noticed, but kids don't get excited about standards. Have you noticed that? There's got to be a cause. There's got to be why we do what we do. Who are you looking for? Now look at verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Now, if you think about what Philip just said, you're going to understand Nathanael's response. Look what he says in 46, Nathanael. Nathanael said to him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Go to Luke chapter 1. What are these guys thinking when they speak of who Moses and the prophets did write? Luke Verse 69, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which Moses being one of them, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all them that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, Rome in this context, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, speaking of his son John, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give the light of them that sit in darkness. They're expecting a military ruler to come. This is what's going through Nathanael's mind when Philip said, "We found the Messiah." And Nathanael's got to be thinking, isn't that the one that's supposed to come on a horse and thunders and lightnings? Isn't he supposed to crush the enemies of Israel? We don't have time to look at the 100 verses of the Old Testament. Isn't he supposed to sit on a throne and rule the world and bring peace to Israel? That's whom Moses and the prophets did right. And he says, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. I think I know that guy. I think my mother shops at the market with his mother. Didn't they have a carpenter shop? Who did you say? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? How about Jerusalem, at least? Shouldn't it be a little more dramatic? Wasn't Nathanael in for a surprise? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Answer, yes, Nathanael. One point this morning. If you look close, you'll find God in the little things in your life. 1 Kings chapter 19. And if you're waiting to find him in the biggest big things, you might wait forever. We love the big, we love the dramatic, we love the mega, we love the numbers. Verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Now, sometimes he's in the wind. He was in the whirlwind in Job. He was in the wind in the upper room. But in this case, he wasn't in the wind. I remember praying with Tony Quare, Lord, rend the heavens. Not here. And after the wind, an earthquake. Now, when he swallowed up Korah and his crew, he was in the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Now, the prophets of Elijah, the prophets of Baal with Elijah, he was in that fire, but he's not in this fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Now, if you're a student of the Bible, we could run the passages on the voice of the Lord. It's like thunder, but not all the time. In fact, not even most of the time. In fact, in this age, if you hear the voice of the Lord like thunder, your feet are probably going to be going up and you're going to be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. If you hear as thunder and that's not happening, you better run for cover. Our big God works in little things, little people, little churches, little events. And when we can get that, there will be no such thing as little. You take the Bible. Now, I have had my Rhema moments. I remember the call to go to Bible Institute. Prepare thy work without, make it fit for thyself in the field. Remember, we had already started a church in the inner city of Rochester. We'd already been in the field. We've already had experience in the field. You know, when you want me to take over, Pastor Grace, prepare thy word. He said, go to Bible Institute. Bible Institute? I'm a field preacher like Whitfield. We preach in the open lots and prepare thy work without. Make it fit for thyself in the field. And afterwards, build thine house. Okay, and there I was for 5 years. I felt like I was spinning my wheels, but God. But that text there, it was clear. It was like God thundered. When I left, got married, and we left 14624 and went to 14612, where are you going? We are homebody people. We are like Italians that you stay around your family, and why are you moving way out to Greece? You got to take a ride to go over there. And now I'm looking at this, and you talk about you better be willing to go to Tanzania. I don't know why it was the Tanzania or the Tasmanian devil. And it's like, and I can remember coming to the altar week after week, service after, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but please don't call me to one of those places. And I know the morning I read, thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or of an hard language, but unto the children of thy people. Get to thee of them of the captivity and say, thus saith the Lord, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. And I knew that God had called me to reach the orphans in the body of Christ who were outcasts in their own church. But you know what? Most of the time, it's not that way. I could go back to 2, 3, maybe 5 times where a thing just jumped off the page. And most of the time, it's just line upon line, precept upon precept. It's just like eating. Do you know what you ate last Tuesday morning for breakfast? No, but it nourished you. I'm telling you, God is in the mundane. He's in the plain. He's in the little. He's not always in the dramatic. And when we get that, it'll make the little dramatic. It'll make the little big. You take preaching. The first lesson that we had to learn, every message will not be your best. And the way you've been looking at me in this message, I'm thanking God for that. Because you need to understand, guys, every message will not be your best. Any more than any meal is, every meal is going to be your best. But listen, the consistent grazing of the Word of God through preaching and reading will build you up. And what you'll do is you'll look back one day and you'll say, wow, look how far I've come in the little things. In the little things. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm telling you, God works in the simple and the small. You take the nation of Israel. How do you explain this nation? If there's no other, I don't know who these two guys were on. He said, how could you believe that Bible? He said one word, Israel. Size of Tennessee, surrounded by their enemies. Still there, 2,000 years without a home. I'll bring them back. 1948, back they came. Find that in any other nation in the world. Find these people that are scattered all over Russia and Romania and Hungary and New York City. And you know what they know they are? They know they're Jews. My grandfather came off the boat. Now, my kids, we push it that we're Sicilian, you know. We're Italian and we're Bruzzese. But for the most part, they're married these white guys and they don't know what they are, their kids, you know. Those Jews know what they are. Now, Deuteronomy 7:7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, Israel, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. And listen, if you're little, if your ministry's little, if your impact is little, God wants to work with and through you. Give me an amen. Amen. Or as they say down south, amen belongs right there. The simple. Listen, he's calling fishermen. He's not calling the educated. He's not calling the crisp, clean. He's calling Levi a publican. Who kills Goliath? The big guy? Godzilla? No, the little guy. The simple and the small with a lot of God. Who is the agent that Jesus uses to feed 5,000 and then some? A lad. A little lad with a little lunch and a big God. It's the character of God to do his greatest works with the simple and the small. Not many mighty, not many noble after the flesh are called. We're coming up on this Christmas season. He's birthed by a poor woman. What good can come from a poor woman? God. I got thinking about it. He comes in a barn, in a manger, a feeding trough. Can any good thing come from a feeding trough or a barn? And I know that the manger scene is not biblically accurate in some ways, but in a lot of ways it is. Consider this, 2 billion people in 125 countries consider Christmas to be their most important holiday. 2,000 years ago, this little Jewish couple had a baby in a barn, and even if half of those, a billion replicas of that little barn set up all over this world. A big God uses little things. And if you're little and you're simple and you're not real connected, God wants to use you. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? How about this? God. I got thinking about our future pastor. Zane, when you see your grandmother later, ask her what a phone book was. And when he was 8 years old, he'd take a track and he'd go in the phone book and he'd take a name and an address, buy some tracks with his allowance money, and he'd write a note on how to be saved, picking names in the phone book. Now, Lord willing, to be the pastor of this church. You know why? He works in the little things. Can any good thing come out of... My daughters went to this. And if, I don't know nothing about this group, so please call me a liberal or my kids liberal. What's their family's name again? The Clark... Collinsworth. The Collinsworth were putting on a Christmas thing and they saw my kids in the... I guess the Collinsworth are somebody. Like, we're nobody, they're somebody. And they said, oh, you're a singing family. It's like... They recognized us. My daughter Jenna was out. They did it out where she is. And everybody said, oh, she goes, I follow you. One of the girls told a Camilleri. Like, can any good thing come out of Gates Chilai? Can any good thing come out of Greece Olympia? Woo! I'm telling you, God uses the little things and the little places and the little people so he can prove himself so you didn't say, look what I did. He's a great speaker. No. He says this, that, those, and them, and God still used them. We are enamored by the big, but most of the time, folks, it's not big. And if it is big, it started with the small. Ladies, get a vision for your children. Oh, she's just a stay-at-home mom. Just barefoot and pregnant. Read Hebrews 11. every champion in that book, in that chapter, you know what they had? A stay-at-home mom. And if the new pastor ever says any that there's anything for a woman more important than a stay-at-home mom or bigger in God's eyes, I'm going to go, hiss, hiss. No, it's a high calling. Listen, stay-at-home moms make champions for God. Look at the revivals. Look at Whitfield and look at Wesley and look at Sam Jones. And in many, many, many cases, you know what they had? They had a stay-at-home mom who was a praying mom who loved Jesus. Don't overlook that. Jesus starts a child in a barn. Timothy, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Pour yourself in. You're doing something big. Careful. Be careful about looking past the small things. Amy, that little group there, man, with this message on my heart, man, you don't know what's in that group. Don't look to the big things because usually the big things never come. Hey, we found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write. Really? Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. What? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Hang on, Nathaniel, because you're going to find that our God makes big things out of something small. I got to throw this in. And if I'm wrong, but some of you that are marrying age, you're looking for the horse with wings and the voice of thunder and the trumpets. You're looking for the big thing. Maybe what you're looking for isn't in the big thing. Maybe it's the little thing. And maybe God wants to take the little thing. Now, if you're marrying age, you are interpreting what I am saying right now. But the big thing might never come. Maybe it's that little thing right next to you, or up the row, or down the road, or at the church across the street. What are you saying? Can anything? Yeah, but she's like my sister. I grew up with her. Yeah, and you're just going to go marry someone else that's like somebody else's sister that they grew up with. I better move on. You're not going to believe this, but when, I got to be very careful here. When we were in high school, I met my wife when we were 13, and we'd go out for the summer because they had a pool. And then we'd go back to school, and I said, well, you know, I kind of want my freedom. You know what I mean? And Now, to me, she was drop-dead gorgeous. I mean, I think she's the first girl I ever saw where something went bling, 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 bling. But she wasn't the most beautiful girl in the school. And, you know, sometimes I thought, boy, I could probably maybe get someone prettier and all that. But man, see, I just knew she was the one for me. And now when I go to the funerals and the weddings and the... Nikki, you haven't changed a bit. And before they turn to me, I'll quick say, and I'm twice the man I used to be. But it's like... Honey, I'm glad I stuck with you. They're scary. Just saying. Take inventory of your life. Look at the little menial tasks that you do every day and let God in there, and you would be surprised what God can do. A little 8-year-old boy going through the phone book, buying stamps. I think they were 8 cents back then. Taking anonymous names and writing a letter with a burden. And God says, I can use that. Listen, we've lost some heavy hitters, and we're going to lose some more heavy hitters. And we are going to need one another. We don't need another pastor. The pastor's been chosen. But we're going to need frontline workers. You know, we need somebody to fix the vacuum cleaners that Tom Smith did every time he came to church. We're going to need nursery staff. We're going to need choirs. Our groups seem to be getting smaller. We want to continue to minister publicly. We want to give to missions. But if you'll see and ask God, say, God, if you ever read a book outside the Bible, read the book The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. And he talks about the secular and the spiritual. And he said, our problem is we divide that thing. But if you'll make your secular spiritual, if you'll include God with the daily mundane of what you're doing, you would be surprised. Can any good thing come out of this? Come and see. Let's stand.